I want to welcome everyone. Today is the Q&A for the Success Circle. I'm Lisa Minini. I want to welcome everyone and welcome all the new members. If this is your first Q&A session, what the Q&A is all about is you will submit questions to info@accelerateassociates.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And what I will do is then answer your questions, and or, you know, if you want to come on live, and if you can come on live, that's even better, because during the coaching sessions, I can coach you through live through whatever question that you might have. Today, we must have a lot of people on holiday break because they couldn't make it, but they did want their questions answered, and so I'll do my best today to get those. And if you're listening to this as a recording, then great, and I hope that I've answered all of your questions. Remember, the Q&A sessions are every month at the fourth Tuesday of the month at 4:30 Eastern Time. We also have the high content calls, which are the second Tuesday of the month. I encourage you, if you've just joined us, to set your recurring function on your calendar to prompt you when we're going to have the high content call and the Q&A call. Our next high content call is Tuesday, January 11th at 4:30. And what we're going to discuss at the high content call is to supersize your 2011 business blueprint. Now, if you've been through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, then you know all about your business blueprint. And now, you know, the importance of a blueprint is so that you know precisely and exactly the steps that you're going to take all year, because a lot of entrepreneurs will say, hey, yeah, I want to double my income the next year, but then they don't have a clear plan of action of how to get there. So that's where your business blueprint will really come in handy. And on the 11th, we're going to talk about the advantages of knowing exactly how to take your business to new income levels in 2011, major reasons why business owners often don't achieve their goals, and how to avoid those mistakes, and also the step-by-step elements that you have to have in your business to really have a very profitable 2011. So you want to attend that high content call. We also have a free teleseminar that's coming up on January 20th, which I believe is a Thursday. It's called Get Your Goals in Gear, and I'm going to be covering some of the elements in goal setting. That's an exciting event that's coming up in January. So if you haven't yet set your goals for 2011, you will want to be on that call. I am going to be sending out a link shortly on that. It'll be through the e-zine that you can sign up as well. Again, I want to welcome everyone to the Q&A call for the Success Circle. If this is your first time, welcome. And we've got several questions that I want to cover today. Let me get some water here. Okay, the first one is from Jerry, who has an eye clinic. And the question is, increasing staff efficiency. The staff is resistant to change and feels that they're overworked and stressed. And at the same time, they're working below industry standards in terms of efficiency statistics, so it's affecting their bottom line and the number of patients they can see. I've got a couple of thoughts about your question, Jerry, and again, if you have any further questions after I answer this, then feel free, if you're listening to this on the recording, to email me further, but or we can cover it in your laser coaching call. But, you know, I think when, as business owners grow their business and they're working with staff, it becomes a little bit more complex in what happens and in motivating others. even if you're a solopreneur and you have others that are helping you with your work that have their own businesses, there's complexities in that as well. But when you have full-time staff, when you grow your business, and perhaps some of you have full-time, smaller practices, there's always that the staff component and continuously motivating. A couple of thoughts that I had when I saw this question is, whenever I'm looking at alternatives or consulting with different clients, I will ask the question, well, that's, certainly that's the reality, but maybe they are. Always looking at an alternative, and as you look at all different alternatives, look at the most obvious one. The staff may be resistant to change. They're feeling overworked and stressed. So when someone is feeling overworked and stressed already and you're going to try to make more changes, they're automatically going to think, uh-oh, this means more work for me. And so there's going to be that resistance, particularly depending on how the message is delivered. Now, those of you that have worked with me and know me know I do a lot of work with different types of assessments. And that is so critical because I'm going to be talking, there's another question that came in about culture and values and setting the tone. Well, it has a lot to do with how people are naturally hardwired. And it's quite possible that the employees are feeling overworked and stressed. So let's just acknowledge maybe they are. Let's look also at what's happening around the office that is creating some of the stress and some of the that overworked feeling. Now, could it be scheduling? With eye practitioners or eye clinics, there's a lot of different types of exams that may take longer, like contact lens wearers. They take longer to fit than others. So look at the systems that are involved in the scheduling. Is the scheduling being maximized appropriately for those types of appointments? Or is not enough time being scheduled for some of those other types of appointments that need to be scheduled? Now, regardless of whether or not you have an eye clinic and you're listening to this call, I want you to think about the internal systems that you have, the scheduling of your clients. If you are feeling stressed, if you're, if your employees are feeling the stress and feeling overworked and they're, not embracing change, they're resisting it, again, look at some of those things that might be causing some of those inefficiencies, and most importantly, have them become part of the solution. Now, if scheduling is an issue and you bring it up and it's part of the systems that maybe they're feeling that stressful because they don't simply have enough time with the patient, and you address that and they have some control over saying, we should, be doing this, or we should allot enough time for this. Of course, doing an education on what some of the industry standards are and how you could better meet those. But when you involve other people in problem solving, there is more, employees are more apt to buy into the solutions, especially if they were part of creating the solution in the first place. Now, this is important, especially for people that you might have on your staff that are naturally hardwired to, maybe they're more high dominant and they like control over their work environment. They need to have a sense of input on things that are important in order to buy into them. They want to create some of those ideas. So, again, making sure that you also understand how people are naturally hardwired so that you can problem solve with them and create a better workplace. The other things that also came to mind as I was looking at the question is, oftentimes we try to serve too many people, and I see this a lot too with smaller practices trying to cast a wide net and being everything to everyone. And to think about who your ideal client is, your preferred client, I call them, because, you know, I think a lot of even, you know, dentists and eye practitioners and eyeglass, you know, practitioners, they tend to look at everybody, but you may want to look at a specific niche, that provides a welcome income stream to the practice, but also maybe helps you meet the industry standards. Maybe they don't take as long. Maybe it's a niche that takes longer, but provides a better income stream. Again, to just taking a look at the practice and saying, wait a minute, is there a niche here? Is there an ideal client that we really want to go after for this practice? The other thing that also came to mind is when you have so many staff that are feeling overworked and stressed and not serving in as many patients, is to take a look at the administrative duties and how things are streamlined within the organization. Of course, you know, this is my process improvement background coming out, but what's helpful about that is when you look at streamlining the processes from the standpoint of the patient and from the standpoint of the employees that work there, you'll find the gaps, especially when you can go through the entire process wearing a different hat. And when you can do that, you'll see where things can be tuned up and perhaps how you're maybe not using employees in the ways that are best structured for your business. Now, in some cases, it could be how you're triaging people that come in. It could be how you're triaging, you know, as people exit, facility, if they need glasses, when you schedule glass appointments, and making sure to look at maybe clustering when you do that, clustering certain types of patients on certain days and certain hours when you can. So, again, those are all efficiency-based practices that you can take a look at to see, hey, where can we do a better job? And, of course, you can always ask. Ask the employees first. Ask the patients. Survey your patients. Survey, you know, the clients or your employees. This is all going to be helpful as you look to retune what's actually happening in the practice. And also look at multiple income streams. With any types of practice or business where it's more hands-on, like you do, like, for example, chiropractors or eye practitioners, eye doctors, where you're actually hands-on with the patient, the reality is you can only see so many patients, right? So take a look at other ways that you could bring in revenue streams for your business, which may not always be hands-on. It could be looking at a group and maybe preventative types of things. And again, if you look at preventative types of things, extensions of what you do, you may be able to work with groups of people. Obviously, eye exams are not one of those group activities, but you could do group activities primarily on the preventative side to help avoid, or even types of things, eye care during the summer, or different types of programs that people would want to come to, or workshops. And again, just a different way of bringing in income to a practice and supplementing and leveraging some of that time for your company. So those were some things that came to mind. And then also to remember to look at your own administrative duties and what it is that you're doing that may not be as efficient as it could be within the organization. And again, for those of you who have not yet been through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, some of what I talked about is in the first portion of either the self-study program or the three-day intensive, and we call it the Mastering Your Inner Entrepreneur, which is really part of that is shifting the way the entrepreneur works. So if you haven't gone through that, and it also identifies your preferred client with your preferred client profile, all of this is available in that program. The next question that we received is from Sandy from, let's see, her question is getting employees to understand and live company culture and values. This kind of goes back to what I said earlier about company culture and how people are naturally wired. You can dramatically change the way a company operates, any small practice or small business, simply by how people are naturally wired within the organization and whether or not they're getting that natural wiring met. Oftentimes, the reason company culture isn't what you want it to be or isn't directly tied into people just not getting their natural motivators met. And people will gravitate towards getting their natural motivation met each and every time. So, for example, if you have somebody who is more of a detail-oriented individual, and that is how they're naturally wired, they're going to want to cross their T's and dot their I's. They also are the type of individual, especially if that's very dominant in how they're hardwired, to want to do things exactly right and by the rules. Now, let's say you have somebody that's wired that way in scheduling. You'd say, that's great. They're in scheduling, and they want to do things exactly right, and they're going to make sure things, you know, that schedule's tightened up, and we just have to, you know, they'll follow the rules. Yes, they'll follow the rules. And that could be really great at a scheduling person. However, when you get the complexities of patients calling in and maybe missing appointments or how they respond to a patient making a request, could often be a problem. Why? Because they're so concerned with the rules that they try to fit that patient into the rules, and at times they can be inflexible. Now, that inflexibility can look at, from a cultural standpoint, can look at or be perceived by others as rigid, as in some cases uncaring, just kind of flat in the way they communicate. They are just trying to go by the rules, whatever they were taught, and they don't look at it as being rigid. They look at it as following the book. But they can have a profound effect on the culture of that organization. So it's important to identify what that culture is, what specifically it is, and the values that you have. One of the key components that I suggest to every entrepreneur, and through my book, Me, Myself, and Why, The Secrets to Navigating Change, is to identify a life vision statement. And that life vision statement is filled with certain values. The reason it's filled with values is so that you can clearly identify what those values are and that those values are demonstrated in action through your mission statement or your life vision statement. Oftentimes, entrepreneurs use their life vision statement for their business. But you can have two separate ones. And sometimes it's more appropriate to do that depending on the size of your business. Now, if people don't know what those values are, and worse, if they don't know how to practice those values and put those values in action, then it's going to be more difficult to establish not only the values but that culture. So, practice what you preach by having those values, identifying very clearly what the associated behavior is with those values. So for customer service, for example, you may need to be more specific about customer service. What does that mean? Well, behaviorally, it might mean you answer the phone on one or two rings. Minimum. It might mean answer the phone and address, you know, answer the phone this specific way. So then you start developing standards of behavior that are associated with those values that you want to see. And then those are, you know, updated perhaps in an employee team meeting on a regular basis, so you reinforce that learning and those values in action. It's also important to publish the values, not only for your employees, but it's really nice when your customers see those values and they reinforce the types of values that you want to see in and the kind of culture that you want to develop within that organization. Asking the employees what is their opinion of the company culture? And it's very interesting to see the answers to the employees and their perceptions of that company culture. And that's a really great place to start, oftentimes, is to ask the employees, well, what do you think this, you know, how would you characterize the company culture? What would you say it's like? Now, oftentimes, that company culture can be tied back to how people are naturally hardwired, and I'm going to give you a great example of this. One of my clients had individuals that were all high dominance, and they all had high senses of urgency, every one of them. They were very results-oriented and wanted. It was kind of a ready, aim, shoot kind of environment and culture. Now, what was the result of the culture? People feel stressed. They feel like they don't have enough time to complete things appropriately. They feel like we're execution, 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 not appreciated because people are moving so fast and so quick and making so many decisions that they don't feel like they can really take care of the client or the customer satisfactorily. That is a direct correlation to how the team was wired and the effects of what was happening in the culture. So, when you look at how people are naturally wired, take a look at some of those. You also want to take a look at, you know, how people are naturally hardwired, because it will have a tremendous impact on culture. In another case, many years ago, again, the same situation I kind of described earlier, where individuals were very attentive to detail. It was really great in terms of the scheduling, in terms of the bookkeeping, but when it came to customer service, they were falling a little flat with the customer. The customer didn't feel any warmth from the reception area, and so it created some problems. And so they made some adjustments and then it eventually worked, but it's important to ask and understand the makeup of and the hardwiring of the employees, because that's going to affect the company culture. You also want to make sure that if it's a performance-based culture where you have performance evaluations, that there are defined behaviors or even actions that are associated with those values. I had an interview about a week ago with Tom Raffa of Raffa, Raffa Inc., and they have a very, very strong philanthropic not only culture, but it's part of their value system. And he went on to say that, you know, it's interesting that all the employees that ended up staying long-term were employees who believed in, you know, giving of themselves, whether it was being on a board of a nonprofit or some other fashion. And those employees that eventually left the organization that wasn't really important to them. And so it actually ended up weeding out people that were not a fit for the culture. But it's important to know what that culture is, what you want it to be, as well, and that there is, it's attached and reinforced within the performance-based system. So whether that, you know, is performance increases are based on those values or the culture and those associated behaviors, but it has to be reinforced in some way and weaved throughout the entire organization. I would also mention that when you're bringing people into the organization, it's important to take a look at the entire process of an employee being part of your organization and the kind of culture that you want to develop and intend to develop. What I mean is, from the point at which an employee interviews, what's on your website, how are they being oriented to your organization? Now, I remember many years ago being part of a an organization that was of a specific denomination, and they hired everyone of different denominations, but they had specific values, and we go through what those values were so people understood exactly the kind of organization that they were going to work in. And and most people, you know, we're fine with the values, which were pretty universal in nature, but it was important for them to know the kind of organization that they were in, the culture they were going to belong to, because if even during the interview process they were uncomfortable with any of it, that they would know ahead of time. And so, so from the point at which, you know, even your identity on the web and bringing employees into orientation, to training that they receive, to ongoing training that they receive, and how you enforce that, reinforce the culture and the values, are really important to have. So you want to take a look at, and then even their own personal or self-development during their tenure there, and if or when they should leave and exit the organization. Think about the entire process of an employee's time with you, and how each step of the way you're going to reinforce what that culture looks like and the values associated with that. So, Sandy, I hope that answers your question. We've got another question from Terry R. Another Terry. We've got a lot of Terrys in the success circle, by the way. Male and female. Popular name. Let's see. Okay, the question is, I want to make sure that I interact with every person and they get what they need from our company. How can I be sure to do that? So the question is, how can I be sure that every person that they interact with gets something from their company, gets what they need from their company? Now, if you're, as the entrepreneur of your organization, there are, it's admirable that, you know, the owner wants to be in touch with every single person and customer that comes into their business. But you can't do it alone. And you do have to depend on people, other people, to help you with that. Now, whether those other people are staff members or they're other consultants or other, you know, virtual assistants, there's some times where you're not going to be able to talk to every single person that comes into your organization, depending on how big your organization is. So it's important that you are appropriately delegating, that you're not the micromanager, and that you have systems in place that help you if you cannot personally, that you have mechanisms and ways to reach out to people. Now, the reaching out to people can be done in several ways. Now, most of you who've worked with me know that I'm a fan of autoresponders, which can be done in a way that really communicates with your clients and customers on an ongoing basis and is constructed in a way where you're actually kind of talking to them in a talkative tone through email. Perhaps you want to put a series of videos together and use more videos to connect with people. And again, when you're doing that, do it in a way that honors them and in a way that you're also talking to them, and not at them, but to them. Also having mechanisms and ways that they can provide you feedback. One of the things that I've talked about in the lead generation systems is to have an ask page where you can ask people as they enter your systems more about what it is that they need or want or their struggles so that you can then perhaps later on address those. With employees, you want to also have regular employee time. And whether you have employees or you have consultants that are on your team, you know, it's important to have certain portions of the year touch base meetings with them and making sure that they have everything they need from you and you need from them. Aside from performance evaluation, you know, a lot of people want to meet once a year with the performance evaluation. I don't agree with that. I think you need to have ongoing feedback, whether it's formal or informal, with people, just to keep the open doors, the doors open to communication. So there are a lot of different ways to create that conversation with people. It can be done automated. It could be done in person. It could be informal. It could be formal. But you really have to take a look at your own business and look at which ways, or maybe it's all of them, a combination of all of them, work best. So, Terry R, I hope that answers your question. All right, the next question that came out is, some businesses, we have a question here about funding. I get questions, just a variety of different questions about funding pretty much on a regular basis. And what I suggest is that I wrote a blog article that's available at accelerateassociates.wordpress.com. If you go through some of the blogs postings, the earlier ones, there was a blog, many different articles on funding for your small business. Now, depending on where you are in the country, your own state may have certain funding programs that are available to you. The Economic Development Corporation or some governmental, you can go to your business banker. Those are some areas where you may want to start. You know, for a small business, depending on your small business, there are a number of different funding sources. I just got off the phone with one of the local bankers, and the bank that had not been doing much business lending did start up again with small business lending. So things are starting to move in the marketplace. However, I would also mention to small business owners that have, a practice that they're getting started is there's different ways of bringing in recurring, leveraged, and passive income into your business. But what happens is a lot of people have or set up their business model with the yes or no and go model, the high-priced consultancy model, and then they wonder why it's not working. Well, oftentimes it's because that model is often updated and people try to set up outdated business models. They're really not using the internet. They're really not maximizing the way they can work with people. And without, because I know a lot of you who are on the call right now have gone through the Entrepreneurial Edge system. So without going into all the details, I encourage you to, if you haven't really gone through that, to really take a look at that, because you may not need the business funding once you execute some of the strategies and systems that are involved in that. But if you do need funding, the some of the funding programs are loosening up a little bit, or the, some of the funding sources are loosening up a bit, and so things are becoming much more business, small business friendly. How the one thing though that you are going to need is a plan, a business plan, very well thought out. So you do need to know that before you go into your get your funding. And that's the bottom line, is a lot of people go ill-prepared and wondered why they don't get the funding is because they haven't really thought out their business. And again, you can get the template for the business plan at freebusinessplanformat.com. All right. Okay. What's the best marketing strategies, free or fee-based? There's a lot of different marketing strategies out there, and it depends on what type of marketing is best for your business. There's social media marketing, and not all social media is created equal, and the way that you communicate on social media is different. But we have those resources, the Social Media Edge, which you can find on the Success Circle site, that will tell you all about social media marketing. The free ones, or fee-based, you can get a lot of free information on the internet. But the question then becomes is, how are you going to implement those different free types of advice that's out there? You're really looking at it from a hit or miss type of thing when you don't have a very clear plan of what your business is, where you're going, and you haven't put it together in a blueprint. You know, who your preferred client is, what's your best market, do you have a niche? If you do, what is that niche? And so the clearer that you can get on that, it will become very clear what you need to tap into. And I would suggest that there are probably both fee and fee-based, free and fee-based, that would assist you depending on what your plan is. There's a lot of free things that you can tap into, but you have to know exactly where they fit into your business and also understand when you could be spinning your wheels, or you could get a shortcut that, yeah, you're going to pay for, but you have a shortcut. And you're going to be that much more ahead when you take that shortcut and invest in your business. And here's where I think a lot of times people will cut themselves short, is that they don't look at things as an investment. And it truly is an investment in your business. But one of the key things, too, that I want to mention is a lot of people try to do advertising and spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on reactive advertising. That is, you put it in the newspaper and you hope they will come. Well, if you're throwing that wide of a net and wondering why it's not working, then you might want to think again. So that, in that case, that's fee-based, but it's not working because you're trying to cast too wide of a net, and you're doing the push marketing. You know, buy my stuff, oh, I'm here, but it's not really exacting. You're not really getting your exact target market. And so if you're going to invest in fee-based types of marketing, you want to make sure, is it identifying, you know, am I getting to my ideal client? Now, a lot of people try to sell you on the numbers. Well, you get, you know, 500 million. It's like, you know, when I tell people about Facebook, you have 500 million people or whatever the number is now on Facebook. Well, that's great. But is your ideal client there? Or are they on LinkedIn, and is that a better avenue for you? Or, you know, can you reach them on Twitter? And if you can reach them on Twitter, at what times do you reach them on Twitter? So looking at the different types of marketing strategies really depends on who your ideal client is and where you're going. I spoke to pretty recently one of the county representatives, one of the governmental officials, and you know, he was mentioning that, you know, he would spend a whole lot in his advertising and marketing budget to reach out to the people in the county. And he said, you know, I got on social media. And he says, not only did I cut my advertising and my budget in half, but I was able to connect with far more people in a shorter period of time, like thousands of people within months, he said. And he can keep them updated on a more regular basis, which in his role was very important. And he said, so I was able to do that for pretty much free, except I, you know, now have an employee that does that, which was a lot less expensive than what he was paying in social, in his other marketing. So, I say that to say that it really depends on what you want to accomplish, where you're going with your business, who your ideal client is, and all that foundational information needs to be clear before you try to invest in your marketing strategies, because you really got to understand where it is that you're going. So, Carl, I hope that that helps you with that question. Again, I want to remind everybody, if you just joined us, of the next high content call, which is January 11th, about supersizing your 2011 business blueprint, where we're going to go through, you know, goals, the step-by-step elements, to, have your business be profitable in 2011, some major reasons business owners never achieve their goals, advantages of knowing how to take your business to new levels in 2011, and specific strategies. And if you have any questions on that high content call, you can submit your questions, or any question for that matter, about growing your business, and we'll cover those in the next one on January 25th in the Q&A call. Remember again, that if you do have a question, to send it to info@accelerateassociates.com. That's EXCELLERATE associates.com. And I believe that's all the questions that we had for this session. And remember, if you haven't yet scheduled your laser coaching call, that one-on-one private laser coaching call that you get with your Success Circle membership, to remember to do that. Again, just email info@accelerateassociates.com, and we'll get that scheduled for you. With that, I think that's about it, and I want to wish all the Success Circle members a very, very happy new year. And much success, and I look forward to seeing you all at the Entrepreneurial Edge 3-Day Intensive in May. So I hope you're going to join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a phenomenal speaker, a new speaker this year, Tim Green, who is the president of Referral Institute and has been endorsed by Dr. Ivan Meisner. who is the CEO of BNI and the Referral Institute. So you do not want to miss that. Great stuff about how to create a referral system. We've got some tremendous sponsors, Ready, Set, Mail, Referral Institute, Marketing Monsoon, Merchant Processing Training and Consulting and Training, and more to come. So I want to thank everybody for coming to today's Q&A call. Again, if you have any other questions, email them to info@accelerateassociates.com. And that's about it. Thanks so much for coming. And until next time, create a great life. Bye-bye.